What's up, everybody? My name is Speech from the Hip Hop Crew Arrested Development, and you're watching the Everyday People podcast. We must fight and win. It's a united front of united minds and reigning revolution, revelation, and revolution. Everyday people pride underneath the sun and in the sunshine. So let your voice be heard and ease your mind, because someone's whole world can change in one day, and we got a lot of things to do. Let's go. We're talking about colorism right here. And I want to introduce my panel of professionals. This is Perry, workout instructor for me, Tiffany, and Zoe many times as well. And also entrepreneur, a teacher, a former Army sergeant, all types of...
All types of things.
Married man, yes. Parent. And this is Tiffany Williams. She is my queen's sister. Tiffany Williams right there. Yes. She also helps us in numerous and in huge ways. Yep. This is our daughter, Zoe Renee. My name is Speech, and this is my queen, Miss Yolanda.
Hello.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about colorism today.
Okay. And,
seeing that I'm the only dark-skinned person here,
please.
I just really wanted to just...
Lack of a berry.
So, I wanted to talk about colorism because obviously it's always in the news. Mm-hmm. And lately there's been tons of different rap stars that have talked about various things. I'll pull up a few, but y'all probably know some of these things. But rapper Kodak Black recently stated he has a preference for light-skinned women to dark-skinned women. Mm-hmm. And 2017 he was doing this interview. And, you know, he also said, I love African-American women. I think he was actually responding to the backlash that he got.
Right.
And he said, I love African-American women, but I just don't like my skin complexion. Oh, that's what he said.
Oh, wow.
This is in 2017. He said he doesn't like his own skin complexion.
That's the
truth. Wow.
You know, my queen and I have been catching up on shows since the COVID-19 thing has kicked off. And one of the shows we've been watching is Married at First Sight. Mm-hmm. And a few seasons ago, the professionals of the show, they interview people. And a lot of people, like black men in particular, they said this on the show. They said, unfortunately, a lot of black men don't want to marry a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
They want a white woman only.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. Then also, that's what they said on the show. They said, out of all, and they interview 40,000 or more people.
Yeah.
No, 70,000 people. Because over each season it grows.
It grows, yeah.
So 70,000 people come. And a real prevalent theme was black men didn't even want to be with black women. It just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Then on Married at First Sight season 7, there was a character, a guy on there named Tristan, black guy. And one of the things he said was, look, I want a woman to marry. I'm excited about this, but I don't want anyone that's darker than me. And he was relatively light. Like, he's pretty light-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, they either need to be my complexion or lighter.
Yeah.
And it just blew my mind. He got a ton of flack, you know, on social media from that. Chris Brown once rapped about his yellow model chick. I don't know if y'all know about these things. And in the song "Look at Me Now, I'm Getting Paper" in 2011, Gucci Mane said yellow everything, including yellow bones, on his song "Lemonade" in 2009. Rapper Lil Boosie said red bones and caramels on his song "Wipe Me Down." This stuff just feels gross. Talking about the titles of somebody. So anyway, 2007, and then Kanye West had a casting call for his Yeezy Season 4 fashion show. And he said he only wanted multiracial women, which many black women, rightfully so, was like, well, okay, so you don't want dark skin women.
Right.
Like, you just only want that multiracial look.
Right.
So, you know, it's a trip. So anyway, December of 2006, there was an interview with Essence magazine where Kanye said, if it wasn't for race mixing, there'd be no video girls. Me and most of my friends like mutts. He called these women mutts. Me and my friends love mutts a lot. In the hood, we call them mutts. And so, anyway, so I just, it goes on and on. I can go on forever and ever. It didn't just start recently. I mean, we look back at Vanessa Williams, the first Miss America, extremely light-skinned, hazel eyes.
Right.
Very much a mixed type of look.
Mm-hmm.
We go on and on. But, I mean, colorism is extremely real in our culture, but it's not just real here. I mean, the truth is I do my, one of my sites that I run called Black Existence. It's on IG. It's got over 100,000 followers, and it's a popular site for Pan-African, African diaspora, beauty, dignity, and culture, right? So it has men and women that I post up from all these different cultures. And I get a lot of flack on my page about color. You know, if there's a light-skinned woman, they're saying she's not black. If there's a dark-skinned woman, they love her because that's the type of audience that I have on Black Existence, right? But if it's a lighter-skinned woman, you get a lot of flack, you know? And so colorism is very, very huge. And because my site, Black Existence, is like my biggest following is in New York, Brazil, you know, parts of Haiti, so on, and so, like Africa. So like it's across the world. It's not just in the United States. And these people have just the same type of issues there, from skin lightening and skin bleaching, you know. Those things are huge in Indian countries.
Right. I don't know if there is a culture that colorism doesn't play
there you go.
A part.
That's the point. And
because
so,
there's Asian people who do that
too. Because Asian people can get very dark. Right. You know, the truth is, I don't mean get dark like in the sun. They're born dark. Like a lot of, we've been to Asian countries. A lot of people only think of Asia and they think of China.
Right.
Or they think of, you know, it's Japan.
India as well.
Yeah. But there's so many places. India, of course, is Asian continent. So you get people from Asia, though, a lot of the places we've been to that aren't Japan or China, they look like black people. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're dark skin, real dark skin. Some of them just as dark as you, Perry, or you, Tiffany. I mean, for real. Like, on the, even in Japan, and when you start to get into the mountains of Japan.
Yeah.
So the point is, this colorism issue is real all across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted us to talk about how do you guys feel that has affected you in your personal life, or how do you see it, just period?
I think, for me, I think it was my dad who helped me out the most with it, because I grew up in an all-white neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
All my friends are white.
Right.
And I used to get teased by the black people, you know, and they were like, wow, you're the blackest white girl we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, but he put something in me that made me love my skin. He used to tell me how beautiful my skin was, and I never, so when they teased me, I was armed,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was armed with confidence about my skin. So it never really affected, you know, it hurt my feelings at the time, but mm-hmm. it didn't sink in because I was like, oh, they're hating on me, you know,
right.
whatever. But he put something in me that made me love the color of my skin so much, you know, and so I wasn't afraid of being out in the sun all summer, you know, because I was like, he was like, you can stay in this house. You're still gonna be black.
Right.
You know? You can stay in the south. This is not the sun that's doing it. This is just who you are.
Right.
So go out and have some fun.
Right.
And so I was okay with it growing up because, you know, just being on, you know, the darker inside, you know, sometimes it's hard. Like I see in my niece, they hide from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
So even when your dad had to convince you to go outside, it seemed like you might have had a slight issue.
I did.
He had to talk you.
He did, you know, but it wasn't like a huge issue. It's like I wanted to go, and that's what kids did back then.
Right.
So like, I just hesitantly did it and trying to put sunscreen on all the time and all this other things and just trying to stay out of it as much as I could. Like, oh, let's play video games instead of going outside, you know?
Right.
And, but you know, it wasn't a long conversation. He just told me how beautiful I was with my skin. And, you know, he always has taught me that. And you know what I think when I started.
It's amazing the role of a male in the house. Oh, sorry. Okay. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I don't even know what I was thinking.
I can't.
Wow, your father really played
the same thing.
Your father really played a great role.
Fathers play a huge role.
They do.
I know.
I don't know why I said that.
Yeah. Hilarious. Oh my gosh.
I've married the man that I have because of my father. You know what I'm saying? So.
But you were talking about your niece. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So no. Okay. So my niece, a couple summers ago, she did not want to go swimming. And that's what we do. We go swimming in the summertime. And she didn't want to go because she was like, well, I don't want to get too dark this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's in your blood. You're going to be dark. I told her the same thing. And I was like, it's beautiful. And I was like,
peachy gullah.
And then it's our protection, too. You know,
right.
like we have this melanin in our skin. We are going to be protected from the sun, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I was like, I just encouraged her to, and then, you know, I'm on to some other things, but, you know, hair and all that other stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But I encouraged them to, that your skin is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, my nephew, he's dark skin. His skin is amazing, chocolate color skin. But I think it's our job as parents to lift the kids up so they can have these.
Absolutely.
Have these issues about, well, you know, on my end of it being dark skin, you know, because there is another, you know, I know people, it's starting to be a little trendy now.
Mm-hmm. Dark skin is trendy.
It's just, in some ways it is,
yeah.
But it's not in every way. And so I just try to lift them up as much as possible, mm-hmm. you know, so they'll be proud of their skin.
Yeah.
Because it is beautiful, you know,
right.
And but all shades are beautiful. And that's what I think what we have to, as Black people, understand that we're all Black.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
It doesn't matter what shade of clothes. Exactly. Like, there's nothing you guys can do.
Right. We didn't
you know?
Come out.
Right.
Right.
You
exactly.
choose a thing.
Right. Exactly.
And the thing is, to white people, it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
You know, if you have an ounce, you're Black.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How, socially, how the laws.
Right. So yeah, I don't know why we get caught up in all this stuff, because we're all Black and all shades of the are beautiful, mm-hmm. you know? So mm-hmm. that was just my experience. My dad, and he put something in me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Daddy was, I mean, he is a strong, dark,
very dark,
very
dark man. And I remember just watching him like walk into a room. Like he was always so just proud. He would walk in bold, and he used to lead this group of white men. And I'd watch him walk in, and he would capture like their attention. And that was power to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he always talked about how it's not about your skin, but your skin is, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, teaching the importance of walking into a room and being confident and loving yourself. And, you know, my mom too, she was very much like, you are a beautiful girl. Mm-hmm. Just always. And so it really starts at home. And that's what I was asking you the other day, Zoe. I was like, did we talk enough to you about how beautiful you are and your skin is power? And you know what I mean? Like, I just felt like I couldn't remember giving or pouring that into you.
Did it?
I think that... my mom did such a great job at being an example
mm-hmm.
of like wearing your skin and being proud of it. And I always, my first memory of like knowing about skin color was at Montessori school. And I used to tell people like, my dad is white, my mom is Black. And you know.
She thought
that,
she was a mixed kid.
That's so true.
Because the teacher said, are any of you from mixed parents?
Yeah. The teacher said
Zoe
that.
Raises
like,
her hand.
And they're like, are you sure?
Right.
Like, yeah, he's white. Watch when he comes from right. You'll see. But I do remember, that's I find hilarious. It so interesting, right? Because like I was a boo bear. Like I was a small, I was tiny like at the time. I don't even know how old I was.
Yeah.
But I remember being very aware that there was a difference, and I didn't necessarily know what that meant. And then seeing your mom, and then Grandpa P, and then
my mom is extremely light skinned,
very
and
fair.
Her husband, my stepfather, I got that right.
Yeah,
very good.
Is
very good.
Even lighter than her.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, go ahead.
So they favored a lot of the people that I grew up around. So I was like, Dad is.
Yeah.
Mix or dad is something that's not all the way Black. Mom is all the way Black.
Right.
And so it was really interesting, like trying to navigate that as a child.
Yeah.
And I think I did some part of me
we messed up with our kids.
Some part of me actually found some pride in that, even at that age, like knowing that my dad is a lot like Matt, who I had a crush on, you know what I'm saying?
And Matt was a white boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is cool, or that is more special in a way. That
is,
I remember like associating it with that. And I find it very interesting at that age that I was able to put that together, which was not true because you're not.
Right.
But
yeah, you put it together wrong.
Right, I put it together very completely wrong. But my child brain was like trying to put something together.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up, and you know, I remember seeing my mom and being like, she's great. Like, this is, you know, this is amazing. This is, I want to be that woman. You know what I'm saying? And obviously we have two different skin tones, so our experiences are a bit different. But dark skin is what I grew around. You know what I'm saying? Like, the women in my life are all dark skin. So I think that was always the standard of beauty for me, you know? And so, you know.
But you are beautiful.
You're awesome.
No, I love my skin.
Yeah, you.
I love it. Yeah. But it was, I had such a beautiful example of beautiful dark brown skin that, like, everywhere they went was just shining. And I was like, that's fire.
That's awesome.
Well, I grew up in New Orleans. So my view on skin, in the, I say, 70s and 80s or whatever, although we have a history of colorism, the brown paper bag treatment, where we have whole communities where we exclude the darker race, even though amongst black people or whatever. But my experience, I believe I came up in a, I remember being dark, being an issue. But it was more like a joking issue. Like, we're in the room, like, you're the blackest one in, or whatever. But it didn't last long because we were transitioning from Christopher Williams, I'll be sure,
into that standard of beauty to into Wesley Snipes.
Snipes.
That's right.
Or whatever. Denzel Washington. Right.
Which was terrific.
Exactly.
And, you know, as a young teenager, I went in the military when I was 19. So which I think was great for me, my first duty station was Germany. And to people who've been there, they love dark skin. I mean, sometimes you walk in a place and it's almost like Michael Jackson walked in.
It was the same in Bali. It was the same.
Right. Yeah, it's like when you walk in, they're like, oh my God. You know what I mean? And in the United States, it wasn't actually like that
yet. No, it wasn't. No.
But in Germany, it was. And the darker you were, the more love you received from that culture. Mm-hmm. And then once I returned to the United States, like, there was a shift.
Totally.
But I'll say, I don't know if the shift happened. I don't believe it happened equally. The shift for black men changed, but the shift
for
with
black
women never changed.
Right.
And
that's
it true. Went back to what Yolanda was saying, that it... I remember girls in high school, dark-skinned, beautiful women who would, during those times, lay out in the sun and sunbathe. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they were black as Grace Jones.
Right.
But because of the way that they were raised, their parents taught them how beautiful they were.
Right.
And so their skin was strength. It never bothered them.
Yeah.
You know, people would try to use it against them.
Right.
Like, oh, you're the blackest one. And be like, yeah, I am the blackest one.
Right. And what's the problem? Yes.
Or whatever. But it never changed. And the music scene, I don't think they did any service to black women by putting so many light-skinned women in everything.
Right.
I mean, almost up until Black Panther almost.
Right.
Yes,
did you ever see dark skinned women being
absolutely
held up as, you know, the queens that they are?
I think that, you know, so there's levels to it, right? I think America has become very, very comfortable with the mixed girl in our entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
America has become very comfortable with a girl who we can look at and say, she's black. Loose hair,
right.
You know, maybe light colored eyes,
right.
You know, very creamy complexion. And then I'm right under that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right under that, you know, description. So
there's
a lot of privilege on my side as well, because America has become very, very comfortable with what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And they are comfortable saying, well, this is just black enough. Like, this is a black enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, so you could still see a little, you know, a little cream in there, you know what I'm saying?
She could,
you know, we could put a wig on her and, you know, give them the curls and
make her look more mixed.
Maybe she could be related to me, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think there's a huge thing that we just don't talk about, where on my side, I have to say, well, there is a very different, there's a disparity in that, like, there are some things that go to me. I work hard. I do, you know, I do what I can, but Hollywood is very, very comfortable with me, you know,
exactly.
And who I can turn into,
right.
And who, you know, and who I can play and,
right.
you know, and I think that that's something that has to be addressed. You know what I'm saying? We don't talk about it near enough.
Yeah. Sorry.
I agree. It needs to be addressed. And I also agree that, and I always want to say this, that we need to get our own mediums so that we can start to define what beauty is without waiting for someone to accept our visions of what beauty is. Gabrielle Union obviously is a star. Dark skin.
Come on, baby.
Tika Sumter is a star. Yeah. Dark skin. Lupita Nyong'o is a superstar.
Right.
Dark skin. So things are starting to change, but not even close to enough.
Yeah.
Actress Tika Sumter said similar to what you and Yolanda said. In 2004, she was saying, being dark skinned never made her feel less than her five siblings, who all of them are lighter than she is. She said that her mother, who is lighter than her, and her father, this is again a family issue, or the strength of family. I shouldn't say it's a family issue. Culture should play a better role with making everyone feel accepted and loved. But family does make such a difference in how people view these things. So she said her father, who is also dark-skinned, always appreciated her complexion. So both her mom and dad did. She said, I never felt less than. So even growing up and getting into this business, I always felt like, well, yeah, of course you're going to like me, she told Oprah Winfrey. I never felt like, wow, the light-skinned girl, she's going to get all of the boys. Growing up, I was like, yeah, of course I'm cute. Of course I'm going to be the president of my class 3 years in a row.
Come on.
Yes.
I was never made to feel less than, and it starts at home. It really does.
Absolutely.
And I think the key words is it starts at home. I do agree with that. It doesn't have to end at home. I do think that we should call for justice in these areas, society, you know, in society. But it does. Home is so important, which leads back to the conversation we were talking about with roles and family and having everyone play a role in the house. But anyway, I do think that that's important. And then, but on the same token, Kiki Palmer, who's also relatively dark, right? She's a brown woman. And Akilah Nabee and all of that stuff. She said she had a huge desire to be lighter skinned while she was talking in this confidential panel, this Hollywood Confidential panel in 2013. And she said, when I was like 5 years old, I used to pray to have light skin because I would always hear how pretty that little light-skinned girl was. Or I would hear, I was pretty to be dark-skinned.
I grew up with that. Like hearing other people say that, you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl. And I would always be like, I'm just pretty, you know.
Right.
I feel pretty. You don't have to add the dark skin, but I mean, it didn't really matter to me because, like we said,
you had something in you. Like,
I had the confidence to
be able to do with all that stuff. Yeah.
Totally.
I know. One time, I said to my mother, this is when I was very young, I said that I was going to marry a light skinned man so I could have light skinned babies. I did. And she went in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember everything she said, but like, it was a long car ride home. She was like, you don't pick anybody just because of their skin.
You don't
do this and this and this. And you know, your skin is beautiful. So whoever you pick is not because of anything on the outside, because they didn't have anything to do. They always taught us more about the inside.
The inside,
Like we've never been people who just go off of the way somebody looks.
Because
you can get to know someone.
Right.
And then they could be the most beautiful person when you first meet them. Right. And then they could become ugly to you on just
that's
the outside.
So
because
that's so true.
You Absolutely. Know, so but yeah, she went in on me, you know. So I always remember, I was like, okay, I'm married dark skin man.
But she wasn't saying you need to marry dark skin man.
But at the time, I was like, forget it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got what she was saying later, you know, later in life or a little bit later, you know. But but I just don't know why we as black people do this. I know I have a friend who had a baby, and I was like, oh wow, you know, you guys, she was holding the baby, and like their skin tones were almost exactly alike, but she was about your color.
Okay.
Her and the baby's skin colors were about the same, and I was like, wow, you guys can't see when one starts and where the other one begins. She's like, don't say that. She's lighter than me.
Oh.
You know, like she was so, I was like, what are you talking about? I was just saying how,
you know,
how connected, like they were just exact, and she was like, oh no, you know, I want her to be lighter than me. And she was already light-skinned, and I'm just like, why do we have this issue with just being darker, or
well, we wanting know
our
why.
Or why, you know, with our kids being darker, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's...
Well, why do you guys think? I mean, we know why, right? We know why that there's this self-hatred.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it.
You start.
Yeah.
Well, well, obviously, it's from the white supremacist views that have been conditioned into us since the beginnings of this country. And even before that, from colonialism. So this is a worldwide issue that affects people from around the world. It's really basically down to opportunities and what's considered beauty standards. That's what people are trying to, you know, conform to.
Right.
Because it's not just a beauty issue. I do want to say that. Like, literally, when you look at the stats, well, first of all, in a number of African countries, between 25 and 80% of the women regularly, and this is in Africa, regularly use skin whitening products. Yeah. And I'm not talking about just to get blotches. Like, that makes sense, right? So if you have some real dark blotches that you're trying to make match the rest of your regular skin, we're not talking about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. These are people that 25 to 80% of the women regularly use it. And then in Asia, the number is around 40%. Usually use it. In India specifically, over half the skincare products that are sold for whitening skin.
Wow.
So what does that say? That there has been a correlation between opportunity in the world, getting ahead in the world, with being lighter in the world. Right, that's what the music industry is talking about. Mm-hmm. When these light-skinned women are in these mansions walking around with bikinis and all of the Bugattis and all of the riches. Right. It's the light-skinned women usually that are the lead characters. It might be black-skinned women back in the back doing whatever. But generally speaking,
it's but it's taught to us at such a young age, because I, you know, I was on Instagram the other day and the doll test in a different country popped up, you know, the doll test with the young kids. Yeah. Like, they know, or they, whatever the industry is feeding out to our children, they know at 4 years old.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But that's what you were saying. Yeah, as a young baby, you knew that you needed to start dealing with this
issue.
Right,
like in these kids saying that the dark-skinned one was the mean one, was the ugly one.
But then where does that come from? Media? The books, the textbooks that, that people are getting. Media starts when you're a baby. Right. You're looking at TV as a baby, right? Or even we now have to look at media not just as TV and movies, but even social media or whatever we're looking at on our tablet or phone. But these types of standards are being set for us at an early age. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But also, who's the people in charge in a lot of situations? Who's the people in charge? And a lot of that is going to be white people in these types of nations we're living in. Not in Africa, necessarily.
Right.
But even in that, if they're looking at a lot of our media, which they are, the biggest Hollywood, I mean, the biggest influence on the rest of the world is Hollywood movies that come right out of the United States. So the conditioning that we put into us in the States also goes out throughout the world. But that's the same with music. Hip-hop is the biggest music form on the planet Earth right now, not just in the United States.
Right.
So it makes a huge difference. But I was going to say, it operates on multiple levels, not just physically. It affects courtship. It affects marriage. And there's stats that back all of this up, meaning the lighter you are, the more likely you're going to have a marriage. You're going to find a marriage partner. The more likely, if you're darker skinned, you're going to be incarcerated than lighter skinned blacks. Wow. These are facts. Housing, it affects housing. It affects your income, meaning you actually get paid more, just like men get paid more than women doing the same jobs. A lot of times, the way this system has been set up, darker skinned men are going to get paid less than lighter skinned men. Darker skinned women are going to get paid less than lighter skinned women. These are things that's, so that's what people recognize, whether subconsciously or consciously. And so a lot of people are saying, well, I don't want to be that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be that. If I'm going to have to stay behind, there's a lot of people who are from Latin countries who are black or they're mixed with black, but they're going to put on their census report that they're white. Or other than, you know what I'm saying, they're not going to say black because they don't want to be discriminated against. My real name is Todd Thomas. My mother chose that. And we all know about this. This happened in the 60s in particular when there's segregation and when there was even less opportunities than now. My mother named me a name that could be possibly recognized as white or black. Right. Probably not black, really, because Todd Thomas. Right. Mm-hmm. It's one of those names you don't think about, right? Like, right. You don't really say, oh, that's a black dude. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. My brother's name was Terrence Nolan Thomas. Like, how white could that be, right? Mm-hmm. But that was his name. And yeah. So I guess my point is people connected to opportunity yeah. and to moving ahead in society. And so you're taught to hate yourself otherwise. So anyway, yeah. There's a film called Dark Girls by Bill Duke. And Dee Chanson Barry. And I watched that recently.
Yeah, we were watching it.
It's funny. It's on Amazon. It's a great film. Mm-hmm. I think they have now two parts to it. And The Doll Test is on there. Mm-hmm. And it just talks about the colorism realities. But it's so funny to me because for me growing up, my father was very dark skinned. But maybe not as dark as your dad, but still mm-hmm. dark skin.
Yeah.
And then, without question, dark skin. And then my mother literally could pass for white, and many times did. When she was younger, people used to think she was white.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love my mom's an incredible woman, and then my dad's an incredible guy. Mm-hmm. So I was around all of these different shades, and my family is mixed with numerous shades. And so it never dawned on me that... And we always joke because I always feel like I'm so dark. Me and you joke too because I'll send you a thumb and it's way darker than this. It's like,
I'm like, that's not your thumb.
That's not your thumb. Totally it's like, thumb. I'm sorry. But I always feel like I'm so much darker. But I guess my point is though, is like I even get props from people when they know that I've married you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, you married a dark queen. You know, wow, she's, you know, and I'm. And to me, I met you and I knew you were gorgeous and beautiful, but
aww.
You know what I'm saying? But I didn't think of it as, you know, yeah, I definitely got to marry a dark queen. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It just was an incredible woman is what right. I wanted to marry. Yeah. So I say all of that to say I think we got to get past both sides of it, right?
Yeah.
Because
there's
like on Black Existence, like I said, it leans more towards dark skin. If you're mm-hmm. dark skin, you're going to get a lot more likes on that page.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a lot more praise. If you're light skin, you're going to get a lot questioning. Like my daughter questioned my race when she was a baby. you're going to get a lot more questioning. You're going to get a lot more sort of like you're less than.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, in regular society, it's just the opposite, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you do about that? So what do y'all feel?
I want to talk about, let's talk about you.
Yes.
I remember before I knew you, let's talk about the early days. I remember when Arrested Development first came out.
Yeah.
And as a fan, and when you guys start putting music out, first seeing you, I was like, how? Like, and what I mean by that is, where did he get this from?
Right.
Like, because, and it's sticking with the colorism, I'm like, but he's light skinned.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
It's
I'm
true.
Like,
wow.
You don't know the struggle.
Yeah. Right.
Or like, I'm like, how could he, where does the message come from? Like, and I guess I will give it back to you, but saying as a fan watching your message, it was powerful and it was during a time when we needed it. But I was like, how is it coming from him?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Instead of someone darker or whatever who, and like, where did you understand that struggle from? Because during that time we thought like, oh, you got it made. You know what I mean? If you were the light skinned guy or whatever, you get it easy, but you came with a different approach or a different avenue, and it was, I'll say, hard to believe.
Mm.
No, I feel you on that. I do think that, you know, it's similar to like in the Bible where it talks about Moses was born by a Jewish woman, but at that time they were killing Jewish babies. She sent him off into the river, and he got picked up by the Egyptians, right? Mm. And it wasn't his people, but when he got old enough to know the difference between everything, he made a decision. I'm sticking with my people. And that was me. So in other words, like, I feel like consciousness is really, to me, what you're talking about, right? Because I'm a light-skinned dude that decided years ago that I was going to be conscious. You know what I'm saying? So I knew about a lot of the issues that we are going through as a people that some light-skinned people would decide to more blend in order to avoid that
move away
persecution or avoid that side of things. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I taught our daughter and our son, who's dark skinned. Mm-hmm. So our son is just as dark as you guys, pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jaggy, yeah. There's Jaggy there. Mm-hmm. There's the blue bear. Right. There's the blue bear. And then that's me. No, I'm joking. So, this is one of his best friends. And long story short is I feel like consciousness is what I've always wanted to promote amongst us as a people. Mm. So in all the various aspects, meaning that, yes, dark-skinned people in our community are getting less opportunity. It's a fact. It's not just opinion. Are getting less opportunities than lighter-skinned people because of European domination and white supremacist value sets, right? Mm. But as light-skinned people, like a Frederick Douglass or W.E.B. Du Bois or numerous others in the Black Panthers, from Angela Davis to, you know, there's so many light-skinned people who have played a huge role.
Harry Belafonte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Malcolm X is not dark-skinned.
Oh, my gosh, right.
So, I mean, you know, Harry Belafonte and many, many others, you know, I was going to say T.C., who just died yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. C.T. Vivian.
C.T., thank you. Mm-hmm. C.T. Vivian, who was lighter skinned. But so many who make a conscious decision to be united with our people. Because mm-hmm. most of us, especially, and I don't know if this is true or not, but most of us are darker skinned. Like when you look at the whole population spectrum of Blacks throughout the United States, and definitely throughout the world, which makes total sense. Uh-huh. We come from Africa.
Right, right.
Now, I'm not at all saying, like, one of the things I often have to fight for in Black existence is the fact that, listen, let us all be part of this family, because we are, and especially if we're conscious enough to understand the oppression that is happening to all of us across the world. We all need to be able to, light skin and dark skin, need to be able to understand our brother and sisterhood. That's what I believe. So, so I often have to sort of fight for people to, no, recognize her. She, like, for instance, there's a lot of mixed people who obviously are lighter skinned. Some of them might have hazel or blue eyes or, you know, whatever might come with that mixed race reality. And they often feel like they don't fit anywhere. Mm-hmm. Meaning they don't fit with Black people sometimes raised, and then they don't fit thoroughly with white people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe Blacks will think they do, but they don't feel they do.
Right.
Like they feel like, nah, trust me, I ain't really fitting in with them like you think I am.
Right.
And then on the other spectrum, with Black people, a lot of times they'll get dissed for, you know, acting light skin or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's like a thing. That's a thing. You know what I'm saying? So, I think, so to answer your question, Pierre, I feel like for me, I just made a conscious decision. I personally feel like all of us, me and you talked about this when we was working out, I feel like all hands on deck with the issues that affect Black people.
That's right.
All Blacks should be hands on deck to strive for self-determination, to strive to redeem ourselves from the various things that have happened to us.
To strive for representation and true representation.
True representation mm-hmm. matters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about
it. Like, it is on us in a certain way to say, you know, for me, it is on me to say, no, I'm not going to necessarily play this role because it just doesn't make sense for me.
I'm
not playing
that.
Nina Simone. I'm not, you know, like, I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
And it's our job. And this is really, like, just in any way, I'm not playing someone who's on the autism spectrum. Like, I'm not playing because the truth is that there are people, this world is huge. There are people that can do this and do it way better and more honest than me.
Right.
And it is okay to say, this is not my ministry.
Right.
Like, it's not my turn.
Absolutely.
And that's totally fine.
Right.
And your turn will come when it makes complete sense for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I think it is really important for people like us to say and to take a really firm stand that, like, this is not it.
Right.
And be strong and bold enough in that.
Yeah.
I thoroughly agree with all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thoroughly agree with all of that.
Totally.
So we might have hit this one in the nail. Well, I'll say this. Even Beyonce's dad said that Beyonce gets a lot more props than the other two girls who were darker skinned. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to go into Beyonce talk fully.
Right.
Because she was lighter skinned. I don't agree with that. I agree that she's lighter skinned and therefore she is more acceptable to an American audience.
Mm-hmm.
But can we at least agree that she is more talented than the other two?
Yes.
Come on now. Let's just be real.
You don't have to convince me. Yes.
Okay.
She is.
So it's not as if she wasn't talented in that she just surpassed them because Right. You know, yeah, she's light skinned.
Right.
But I would say that she is more acceptable to mainstream audiences than what's the sister's name?
Kelly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Michelle.
And Michelle, right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it wasn't like the Dreamgirls type thing.
Exactly. The where was, the dream, exactly.
Like, I picked you because you
are lighter.
Yeah, lighter. Exactly. And he's like, everybody else can sing better than you, you know, but right, I picked you because you're more acceptable. That's not, I don't think that's the whole.
That's not always the case.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we agree on all of those things. There's a new, right now, literally today, there was a trending topic on Twitter, and the hashtag was Naomi deserves better. Are you guys familiar with Naomi from the WWE SmackDown brand? Mm-hmm. She's a wrestler, woman wrestler. And anyway, her real name is Trinity Fatu, and she's a darker skinned woman, and she's been killing it in the WWE world. And she's just another example of not getting props, though. Like, she's not the megastar she should be. Mm-hmm. And she's literally being a trending topic.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because people are saying, well, white and black people are saying she needs to be given her props because she's been doing this forever.
Right. Yeah.
So that's another person that's, you know, I do think, you know, Meg Thee Stallion is obviously the first, to my knowledge, I'm trying to think about it, the first dark-skinned black rapper that's really, like, making it to one of the top lanes, female rappers. Do you know any other dark-skinned female rappers that's really getting that type of love? Because Nicki Minaj was lighter skin. Eve was brown. And Cardi B is light skin.
Yeah. Little Kim used to be dark.
She used to be dark. And then she did the Michael Jackson. Right. She's a little lighter
now.
Very light now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she used to be dark.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know if she was ever dark, right?
No, she was chocolate.
She was chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Who?
Lil Kim. Yeah.
Was she to you? I tell you,
prettier.
Foxy Brown definitely.
She was prettier.
She was prettier.
Absolutely. Oh, prettier before.
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 Oh,
Foxy Brown was
dark skinned.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was.
Beautiful.
But but Foxy Brown wasn't probably as big.
She wasn't as big as Lil Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I want to bring up a colorism topic.
Yeah.
What do you think about when things started to change from light skin to dark skin, men only?
Mm-hmm.
That when the dark skin guys came in, lead roles, those type of things, they started to play the light skin guys like he's the weaker guy. Yep. Like
always.
Like, the more masculine is the dark black guy.
True.
And because, you know, there was a thing, you know, I used to hear it in class. Yeah. Like, the kids will say, stop acting light-skinned. Mm-hmm. That means stop acting.
Absolutely.
Stop acting weak.
Stop acting weak.
Like a pretty boy.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, like they'll have little memes on where, like, Prince drinks his water like this. Yeah. And they have, like, Prince looking like,
right.
Yo.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What do I feel? I feel the same way that y'all probably felt. Meaning, in other words, darker-skinned people probably felt some kind of way when y'all were looked at as ugly.
That's right.
I feel the exact same way. You know what I'm saying? I think we need to stop it on both ends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do understand, like, to me, I feel like, and we got to stop this as a people, but I feel like because of colorism, dark-skinned people have been dissed for so long that now for some dark-skinned people, it's like the Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
that's what I meant. That's exactly what I meant.
We're going to get back at you for all these years of us being called
for
ugly,
what your ancestors did to us.
Exactly right. You know what I'm saying? So, like, people are coming back.
Right.
Like, so, like, now, you know, the light-skinned people are getting dissed. It's like, you know what I'm saying? About time.
Right.
And, you know, I don't... So while I understand that dark, like, y'all are darker skinned, you probably need to get that out your system.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know how it works, but I do know that it doesn't feel great for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? To be the butt of the jokes now. You know what I'm saying? Especially as men, not light skinned women.
Right.
Like you said.
Just men.
Because light skinned women still get that love. Like, they're not dissed in that way. It's really a man trait that's like, if you're a light skinned dude, you're sort of questioned.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't totally down.
So,
I don't know. I feel like, personally, at the end of the day, we need to overcome all of this and just become conscious.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And to me, consciousness should become, now this I would approve personally. Consciousness should become like the more conscious, the sweeter the juice, basically. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you could become conscious.
You gonna take that from Blacker?
Exactly.
I know.
No way.
right?
We're not giving it up. We're not giving it up.
You're going to have to find another word.
So I personally feel like consciousness needs to be the new black because, like a Kodak Black who's dark as ever, but yeah. He doesn't have it yet. I'm hoping he gets it. Right. But he ain't got it right now, right? So he ain't going to benefit the people spitting all his game. He's dark as ever, but he hates himself. His complexion, I should say. He said it himself. I'm not saying that for him.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that, like, I feel like consciousness overrides all of it for us as a people that do need to be moving forward in a particular direction of advancement. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
But anyway, Marcus Garvey, I'm going to end it with this. Marcus Garvey had a great quote, two quotes that I don't think we give him enough credit for. I don't think he gets enough credit, period.
Yeah.
Right. But Marcus Garvey quote, I don't think y'all know this is from him. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds.
That's Marcus Garvey.
That's Bob Marley's song.
But I never
But that's a Marcus
that.
Garvey quote. Yes.
Wow.
Stop. Did y'all know that?
I did not know that.
I did
y'all know that? You did know that.
No.
No, she didn't.
She didn't. You acted light-skinned.
Well, of course we know that.
Right, exactly. Of course, right. Yeah.
I know everything.
And another quote he said, he was in the 20s, so another quote he said, the black skin is not a badge of shame, but rather a glorious symbol of national greatness. Thank you all for joining us. Leave your comments about colorism below. We love you. And people every day are everyday people.